You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit soexinc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. Welcome back to Switchcast Season 6. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with my co-host, Tyler Sanders. We are the automotive news and entertainment show that's not just for car people. News is a broad description. Entertainment is subjective.
I feel like both of those are being very kind to us, honestly, as well.
I lean towards entertainment, whether or not it's good or bad entertainment. And news, well, it's not always new. It's usually the old news, but we add some snark and some context to it. Ethan Hufnagel is in the background, the executive assistant to the regional producer. Every now and then he comes on mic, but never on camera. If he is on camera, it's the back of his head, and he's fixing something technical that happened under the desk.
And he gets absolutely drug for it. My, got to be kind to my man.
All right. If you enjoy this podcast, you can help us out a number of ways. Like, share, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a five-star review wherever you're listening, and subscribe to our Patreon. That is the most direct way to help us out. Patreon.com/switchcast. Although, Ethan, do you have that switchcast.com/Patreon website up yet?
Ooh, yeah, we gotta get set that
going.
Redirect.
Get that That's going right. Because I am never gonna get that right. That's My dyslexia right. is in forceful.
Nice. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Don't use it all up.
Isn't dyslexia letters, not word order?
I mix up words
okay.
as well.
All right. I could be wrong.
People, too. That's why I couldn't be a fundamentalist Mormon. Wouldn't be able to keep my wives straight.
What'd you think about that one, Tyler?
I don't know if that'll come through. My throat burns.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
All right. Ooh. What is fueling this podcast, Tyler?
Ooh, speaking nice of this. Segue. I am currently sipping chugging. On some chugging some chicken cock. But it's
all right. Hey.
Ethan, it's on the bottle.
This is Patreon. We can say this, Doug.
No, this is our
oh, that's
regular
right. This
podcast.
Goes everywhere. All right, start that segment over.
Yeah. No. All right, so you're drinking bourbon. I'm back to my On the Rocks premium cocktail, jalapeno pineapple margarita.
Which Ethan is not sold on. Are you any more sold now that it's colder?
No.
For a premix margarita, it's pretty stinking good.
Well, I'll give a shout out to a premix margarita here. Aldi, you ever get that one?
Yeah.
Not bad.
I think this is better. We drink the Aldi ones, but this one's better. Sorry.
I got it. Okay.
My right. podcast, I'm right.
That's fair.
Now everybody
knows. Our Patreon
knows.
Topic, speaking of, if you want to sign up for it, there are exclusive episodes there. Plus, you get to interact with us live in between the episodes and Q&A and fun stuff like that. But our Patreon topic this week is, what would you buy at price points of 10 grand, 50 grand, 100K, 250K, and a million? So if you want to know what Tyler and I would pick, Ethan doesn't know. It would be a Murano, a Murano cross cab, and a... Nissan R390 GT1, I guess.
Hang on.
I would love one of those, Doug.
I want to know Ethan's thoughts on this. You, by the time we do this, you got to...
I'll have something for you.
You got to have something.
We've got a couple hours.
Warm up lap here. I learned something yesterday that annoyed me.
Ooh, perfect podcast fodder.
Yeah. All we do here
white
is
men complaining.
Medical. Is that like mansplaining, but it's privileged mansplaining?
Yeah, it's all just 100%. What's up? What aggravated you to this week, Doug?
Mansprivileging. Hey, medical marijuana cards in Ohio exempts users from users is not the right word there, but no connotation there. Exempts users from tax, but recreational users are taxed.
Why?
I don't know.
Tax at all,
or don't tax at all.
No, I'm 1,000% on tax at all. If you're going to tax liquor, you're going to tax cigarettes, tax the...
But then you can't tax, like, prescription drugs, old people on fixed incomes, right? You can't. That's mean.
Mm. You do bring up a good point.
But the greater point is, because this is not a discussion about that, because we don't talk about politics or marijuana, yeah. Unless it's car-related. My complaint is... What are we doing here? If there's an exemption for medical marijuana, can I get a medical automotive card?
What would that entail?
I don't care. I just want to be exempt from sales tax for my cars. I'm sure I could get a doctor to sign off that I need cars for my emotional well-being.
Yeah. No, I could make a really good argument for that.
Yeah. So that annoyed me, not because I give a rip about whether or not people are paying sales tax on their THP or whatever it is.
Ooh, yeah.
But I don't want to pay sales tax on my ZHP BMW 330i.
Oh, nice. No, see?
We're going to get right into... We've got a rash of exotic cars stolen by transporters this past week.
Somebody needs to clip just the start of that, Doug. We've got a rash, and that's it.
Need a medical marijuana card for that one. This is not new if you've been following this podcast for any length of time, but it is yet another one. It was a McLaren 720S and a Rolls-Royce Phantom, and I think a Jeep and some other cars, all done by one company. Supposedly they've had 72 theft complaints against them or against their insurance company in the past few weeks. And this first came to our attention from a listener and previous guest, Kent Lucas, from Niche Motors. And it was posted on Instagram by Auto Pro of Nashville. And a couple of the shares were on their page. And we're going to go through some of the details, and I'm going to confess to you something right off the bat, but also defend. I did not do typical journalistic research in terms of reaching out to all the parties involved to determine the actual facts of how the vehicles got stolen, like where the breakdown was. Was it that Central Dispatch got hacked? Was it that a fake transport company got on Central Dispatch? Was it, you know, where did the failure happen to the point that this fraudulent transporter got all of these cars? But the reason for that is I don't need to, and we're going to unpack that a little bit later. Okay, so what happened? Here's the post. Stolen vehicle, please share. This McLaren was stolen from Auto Collection of Murfreesboro during transport and has not made it to its buyer in Essex, Maryland. Please help us spread the word. especially if you're in the Atlanta area up through Virginia. The vehicle was picked up from our dealership by transport company CIBA Inc., C-I-B-A Inc., DOT number 4215626, a company with great reviews on Central Dispatch until just 3 days ago. For those of you not in the auto profession, Central Dispatch is a load board available only to dealers, brokers, and transporters where you can post a vehicle for transport, look up transporters, request loads, dispatch loads, verify MC and DOT numbers, sort of verify insurance, and it's a marketplace for people in the industry to ship cars. Okay, continuing on. The car was supposed to go to its new owner in Maryland. Instead, it was dropped off at a gas station in Atlanta, Georgia, where it was handed off to another unknown transporter slash broker. The transporter admitted to feeling uncomfortable, but did not contact us. For 3 days, CIBA Inc.'s broker, name listed as James Brown, claimed the truck had broken down. Now we've discovered this was all part of a fraudulent scheme, and multiple reports of fraud have been posted against the company in just the last 72 hours. That was the 72 I was thinking of, not 72 reports of fraud. Multiple reports of fraud in the last 72. Sorry for getting the details wrong initially. The vehicle likely has low jack, but only the original owner who purchased the car from McLaren Chicago can activate help, and McLaren Chicago has refused to release any info. This is what I'm reading from AutoPro Nashville's Instagram post. So this is
not yet Doug's words.
Right. We're working with the broker who originally sold the vehicle. They're doing what they can, but we need your help.
Is it time for Doug's words?
I have talked through social media to two of the parties directly involved. I said I didn't, but I did actually, but I didn't get to the bottom of what actually happened because I kept getting different stories that conflicted. But I did talk to two of the victims, one of whom was a dealer, the other of whom I think is a dealer, and it was very confusing in terms of what party was responsible for booking the transport, verifying the transporter, or releasing the vehicle. And that's a problem in and of itself because there's no clear answers. And if you go back and listen to our one where the Ferrari got stolen by a transporter, same thing there. It took a bit to get to the bottom of who actually was responsible because people just go on Central Dispatch and click a button and be like, yep, this transporter has good reviews. Great, send it. And that's all. That's all. That's all the due diligence they do. Yep, okay, MC and DOT number valid, and they have a certificate of insurance. Good.
Sold.
Sold. There were allegations that Central Dispatch was hacked and this transport company's account was hacked, so it wasn't actually the transport company. But when I pushed back on that, they said, well, the transport company kept making excuses and saying their truck was broken down. I was like, well, which is it? Then one of them said that CIBA Inc. said they hadn't shipped any vehicles since April. Then another post said CIBA Inc. had 480 positive reviews on Central Dispatch in the last year and a half. Central Dispatch is not for LTL shipping. It is for vehicle shipping only. So if they have reviews, that means they're on their shipping vehicles. Another post said the owner of CIBA Inc. had died, but then later on in the comments, they said that they were talking with the owner of CIBA and thought he was being dishonest. So there's all these conflicting stories about how these vehicles actually got stolen.
Well, and so if they've got that many reviews on Central Dispatch, is there like a barrier to putting up a review? Like not just anybody can get in there? Do you have to have a confirmed load through the platform? Or
yes, okay. You do. Which doesn't mean much because like the old days of eBay, you could do penny sales. And I've seen this firsthand on Central Dispatch. Now, I will say, full disclosure, I am no longer a member of Central Dispatch. We canceled our account a couple months ago. Central Dispatch doesn't know that. I reached out to support twice to cancel the account, and they never responded, which seems to be a pattern for people who are having their accounts hacked or are dealing with issues like this. There is a major failure on the part of Central Dispatch, who is owned by Cox Automotive, in vetting these carriers and dealing with these types of issues. Now, I'm sure in their legal disclaimers, they'll say, oh, well, it's on you to vet the carrier. Yeah. But it is my personal opinion that Cox Automotive and Central Dispatch should be held responsible for what is happening now and the absolute epidemic of vehicle thefts, because they give a false sense of security on that platform with these positive reviews, which is a very low bar to get a positive review. It actually used to be almost impossible to leave a negative review. They've changed that, but the green checkmark system, where it basically says, yes, their DOT is valid, yes, their MC number is valid, yes, their insurance is on file, none of that really means anything, because if you actually go deeper and do the research on the FMCSA website or the DOT website or a site that I love, brokersnapshot.com, you'll see a whole ton of red flags that any decent AI software could recognize trends and say, this transporter is known for double brokering. And Central Dispatch should be doing that. If they're charging people and giving the impression that these transporters are good, they should do more. And they don't, from what my understanding is, they do not personally vet or like confirm the identities of transporters and trucking companies who are signing on to their system. So anybody can get an MC DOT number and insurance certificate, sign on and get a Central Dispatch account. And it's not that hard, because when we vet some of these transport companies, they're owned by people whose names I can't pronounce, and they own 30 different transport companies, all with MC and DOT numbers, all registered to an address that when I search it is a bakery. I mean, these are real scenarios I've encountered, and it took me less than 10 minutes in most cases to find out all of these things.
Do you need any like special access or account or whatever to find any of that?
No. Broker Snapshot, to get like the more detailed stuff, you have to sign up for an account, but it's free. You just have to have an email address and a password.
Oh, okay.
But I'm searching Secretary of State websites. I'm searching the FMCSA, which is everything. I mean, their insurance information, their previous inspections. Like, you literally have the VIN number of the truck and trailer. So if you see a DOT agent with a semi or a commercial vehicle pulled over to the side of the road, you can look that up on the FMCSA website, and you know the consigner of the load, you know the truck and trailer VIN number, plate number of the trailer, the type of like the make and model, the driver, like what their violations were if they were placed out of service. All this stuff is available. Okay, so let's back up, and you'll understand why it doesn't matter essentially what went wrong. Was Central Dispatch hacked? Maybe. Was a fraudulent transporter using a legitimate transporter's company? Maybe. We've seen both of those things before. Was a company that's only been in business a year and a half building up positive reviews so that they could then run this massive theft thing? Probably. That is what I think happened. But it doesn't matter, because there was two easy ways for this to be prevented by the dealerships that would have prevented these thefts. And so I keep going back to the people who are posting this and complaining, please share, please help so we can stop these thefts. No, prevention is the best medicine. You could have stopped this long, long before with simple research. And I got a lot of flack because I posted this stuff criticizing the people whose cars were stolen. And these are not like innocent victims, so to speak. They're not like, it wasn't Ethan who shipped his car and didn't know any better. These are car dealers. These are professionals. Oh, they had 480 reviews on Central Dispatch for the last year and a half. They were great. Woo, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what one of the guys said. 480 positive reviews in 1.5 years and nothing negative, but in the last 7 days, they've stolen 8 cars. Okay, ready? Here is what I posted. This took me about 3 minutes of research.
Ethan, did you time him?
I responded, and this is information for all of you. So you gave a McLaren to a company that has one truck registered to their company, yet has had DOT inspections under 12 different drivers and 8 different trucks in the past year. They've had 4 insurance cancellations in the last year, the most recent being on July 17th. What are we at? This is
29.
The 29th. This post was a few days ago. So, like, their insurance was canceled, and then they got a different insurance policy for $1 million in cargo very recently. Their contract operating authority was revoked on June 20th and just reinstated on July 3rd. They've been in business for only 1 year, and they're owned by Zunisbek Kanagatov. And nice. This dealership is wondering why their McLaren got stolen by this trucker. The double brokering thing is key, right? So when you see a number of different trucks and drivers under the same company, that's like when you're at a gas station, or for you dealers, when a truck shows up and they have a taped on company name, it's because they have 5 other company names that they're operating under.
Since we've started talking about this stuff on the podcast, and I've paid attention on the highway, and I see a lot more trucks than I would care to admit with what looks like a hastily applied situation for their DOT number.
And a lot of truckers will say, why do you care? They're just getting a job done. It's like, we care because this happens.
Yes.
We care because when there's a big insurance claim, they wreck a car, they hit somebody on the highway, all of a sudden the insurance isn't valid because they go, oh, well, this vehicle wasn't registered on the insurance.
Yep, not paying for that.
Right, because they got one truck and one trailer on their policy, but they're subbing it out to all these different carriers. And the other problem is when you double broker, you lose the control of who's actually doing it. So you book one company, but then a different company is brokering it. That broker might be a scam. So you book it with a legit carrier. They go, I can't handle this one. I'm brokering it out to my guy. My guy is in Russia, and he's looking forward to having a free Range Rover.
Well, and so I don't know. As a consumer, I have purchased a couple of cars, and I have talked with some dealerships that have said, We've got some shipping companies we work with. We can get the car to you, yada, yada, yada. And the couple of times I've shipped, I've had some assistance. So I want to know, if I go do this again, like, and a dealership says, I've got my people, we have connections, we've got whatever. Like, I know if Switch Cars said that, I know enough to know that you guys are legit. Obviously, listeners of the podcast know that, like, you guys are on the up and up. What can I do as a consumer to protect myself from dealerships not doing their due diligence?
You can't.
Nice.
You should just call our sponsor, RMS Automotive Brokers / Shaughnessy Overland Express.
I swear to God, that wasn't a segue.
Seriously, this is why we don't endorse brokers at all and don't use them. Shaughnessy Overland Express is a legit transport company that also has a brokerage arm. But they have actually helped educate me on some of the tactics of shady transporters and the ways to vet them. So I built my own policy list, my best practices list in terms of how to not get scammed by these transporters and how to sniff them out.
There's going to be a commercial on late night TV of you selling some DVDs here soon about these quick steps.
No, but seriously, you're just better off using somebody that you absolutely know you can trust. The problem is everybody thinks they can trust most brokers because they have a great track record, but they've gotten away with it for so long and the game is changing. The last year has totally changed the game on these transport thefts. But one thing you can do is require that they tell you the name of the company actually shipping the car, actually picking up the car, the one that's not the broker, not the in-between. And then you can go on a site like brokersnapshot.com and you can look them up and say, oh, they have 50 related companies that shared VIN numbers of trucks or addresses they're registered to, that's a big red flag. Oh, you can look at their insurance history. You can look at their authority revocation history. It's all there. These dealers did not do that, or they wouldn't have given the car to this company. And it is not hard. All they did was just go, Central Dispatch, I trust it. It's good to go. Give them a $500,000 car. Second thing that the dealers did not do, right? And so this dealer actually posted this, said, our company hired SEBA and SEBA brokered it without telling us. My response, I asked him, so what company / driver showed up to pick up the car? You didn't verify that it was SEBA's truck and trailer listed on their insurance policy before handing over the keys to a McLaren? That's kind of like if you're selling a car and a guy shows up with a cashier's check and you give him the keys and the title, you should verify that the cashier's check is valid with their issuing bank. Yes. Same thing here. Oh, I booked it with SEBA. We've used them before. Great. Well, they brokered it without telling us. That's still on you, because a truck showed up to your dealership. And if you don't, at the time that you hand it over, go, oh, this looks like a different company. It doesn't take that much work to do this. You look at the VIN on the truck. You look at the certificate of insurance that hopefully you had them provide you at time of booking. And you go, is this the same truck that's on their insurance policy? Oh, it isn't? Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
See you later.
Well, and this is all pretty. And I don't think that a reasonable company would push back on you or get upset that you were asking for these details. I'm sure that they would provide them. Correct, to make sure everything's on the up
yes,
and up.
Yes, absolutely.
And so if they get upset, bye.
I did it once. I think I knew this transport company was a scam, but I did it once. The trick is you get the COI directly from the insurance agent, not from the company, because they'll just Photoshop them. Yeah. I've literally seen one. I think we talked about on the podcast. They changed their insurance limits, but used a different font.
Yes.
So I requested a certificate of insurance from a transport company that I knew was a scam. And I requested it from the agent. And they said, why do you need this? So, well, I'm shipping a car with them. Well, they don't ship car. They ship fish or whatever. They only work on contract really? With large companies. Like, we're not releasing this to you. I'm like, thank you. That was the information I needed. So... few really easy steps for you dealers to stop this. One, stop using Central Dispatch. Two, do your own dang homework. Three, stop using brokers. If you use a broker, go to RMS Automotive Brokers / Shaughnessy Overland Express. But you dealers have to stop being so dang cheap, and this stuff will stop happening. And you have to do your homework.
I drop.
Customers... don't let the dealer set up shipping for you. Almost every single instance we've seen, we're talking about two or three that we've seen. I've heard of 10 in the last few weeks that were set up by the dealers. The dealer set up shipping, put it on Central Dispatch. Customers, you got to stop doing that. Got to stop doing that. Take that under control. All right, moving on. We could go on forever, but we won't. Corvette curmudgeon segment. Hank is not joining us tonight, but he's kind of joining us in spirit.
He's rolling in his recliner right
he
now.
He is rolling in his recliner. Let's see. On exotic cars for sale by owner, we have somebody selling their 2021 Corvette 2LT Z51 and Cristiano Mosciar. So definitely not a Hank.
Oh,
but,
no.
No trades. I'm currently testing the waters to sell my car.
And what does that even mean? Testing the waters. You're either selling or you're not.
It means either I won't post a price or it's too much. I'm in no rush.
Oh, there it is.
Overpriced. And will only sell it to someone who genuinely appreciates it. Overpriced, overpriced, overpriced.
Oh, man.
I will only respond to serious inquiries, ready to schedule a specific date and time to view the car. No test drives without verified proof of funds.
What is it with these people and verified proof of funds? What does that even mean?
Here's even my bank account.
Even with proof, I will be the one driving while you ride as a passenger. This sounds like stereotypical Hank, right? But no, Cristiano Kiarash Mosciar. That is... someone Hank wouldn't hang out with. But the Corvette although he does have a picture with a big American flag yes. on the car. It's got underglow and Lambo doors.
Yeah, buddy. And it is, it's a vibe.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
It's not Hank, but it's like the if the Corvette curmudgeon was a crypto bro,
yes,
this would be
100%.
Be like, Hank's bait tackle and ETFs. Or it's the five and dime piece.
Hank. Anyway. We'll tell you this later.
I don't know what the price was on it, but I'm sure. Oh, $71,000 for a 2021 Corvette 2LT Z51. So, yeah, that's testing the waters, all right.
The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield all-sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
Tyler, somebody ran into your Porsche 911. Let's assume that it was worth...
What?
Let's assume that it was worth $100,000.
It's worth every bit of that to me, Doug. It's got gray interior.
And you were in your house when it happened.
Yeah, okay.
You think you'd try to get an extra $5,000 for personal injury?
Well, let's do the math. $5,000 is what, 5% of the value of the vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't bother. Not worth it.
Okay. Well, somebody in the UK did.
Oh.
This was covered by a number of different outlets, but we're going to the source, which is Clydeco.com. This is Clyde and Company, who represented the defendant in this case.
All right.
So the happy haps was that a trucker was driving down a motorway and there was a Porsche 911 parked on the side of the road. Well, not really on the side. If you watch the dash cam video, he's like
on the road.
Yeah, pretty much a third on the road.
He had like a wheel off.
Yeah. Yeah. He filed a claim after being hit by the trucker who failed to avoid this vehicle parked sort of on the road. So he brought a claim against the trucking company, and the claim was brought by Mr. Terrell Brooks, a 33-year-old account manager from Rumford, Essex, following a minor collision on the A13. Mr. Brooks had parked his Porsche 911 Carrera GTS on the edge of the road when a commercial lorry, that's a truck for those of you in the U.S.,
a good word,
clipped the vehicle. Mr. Brooks alleged that he was seated in the 81,000-pound car. That's not weight. The truck, the lorry might weigh 81,000 pounds. Sorry, Tyler.
Doug!
I took your line away.
I quit.
Dollars. It's like 100K. So, claimed that he suffered injuries. So, he filed a claim. Included 63,000 pounds for alleged damage to the Porsche, which is almost totaling it.
I would say, but that also like, okay, if it was hit hard enough, that's within reason, I guess. Sure.
Yeah. Our cannonball car was hit by a truck going like 35 miles an hour on the side of the road, and it absolutely totaled it.
Trucks are big.
5,000 pounds for personal injury, 2,400 pounds for medical treatment, and a further 3,300 pounds for loss of earnings.
Loss of earnings. What is that? Like, you couldn't go to...
Couldn't go to work.
Couldn't go to work? Okay, that's fine. That's reasonable.
However, the trucker had a dash cam. Mm. And the video clearly showed the Porsche parked and unoccupied with Mr. Brooks visible several meters away in bushes behind a roadside barrier. It is unclear why he had exited the vehicle, but
it looks so strange when you watch the trucker's dash cam because he's just like cruising down the road and then there's a dude just like in the bushes, which look, sometimes there's just not like a, I don't know, maybe a rest area where you need one to be. You got to just take a break, take a breather.
It might have had to relieve himself.
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
Yeah. What I don't understand is like, it wasn't like there was a half a shoulder. There was a full shoulder. He absolutely could have pulled completely off onto the shoulder, which blows my mind that he didn't. And it wasn't even that his driver's door was on the side of the guardrail to the point where he had to leave space to get out, because it wasn't. The driver's door was on the side of the roadway. After the footage was disclosed, Mr. Brooks' solicitors, that would be attorneys in the U.S., withdrew from the case.
Oh, well.
And Clyde and Company, who represented the insured for the trucking company, filed amended defense stating the claim was, quote, founded on a false premise, asserting that both Mr. Brooks and an alleged passenger knowingly gave false accounts to insurers, legal representatives, and medical professionals. So the plaintiff discontinued his claim, agreed to pay the defendant's legal costs of £4,000, and he formally admitted his claim was dishonest and no damages were paid. And the court order further confirmed that costs were enforceable following their application to strike out the claim on grounds of fundamental dishonesty.
So does this mean the car is almost totaled and he has no money to fix it? Because he tried to get
a few... Not from the insurance company.
Oh, all because he wanted a few extra coin for some reason.
Yep.
Because he was taking a leak in the bushes.
Yep. So that... There's a few things that don't make sense to me here. Well, or just are crazy. One, if you watch the video, the trucker did not slow down at all.
No, dude's cooking. And he just... keeps cooking.
Yeah, and this like, is like you can, there's other cars that are pacing with him, and you look at the hash marks, like nothing changes. And then at the very last minute, he sort of makes a maneuver to go around the car.
And in the dash cam footage, you can see the car from a good distance away. Now, I'm seeing this from what appears to be the left side of the car, which is where us filthy Americans drive from. So it seems maybe more obvious to me than it would be from the right side of the car. It's where maybe
same windscreen.
But like, it's very clear there's a car there that is not moving. Why wouldn't you slow down, put on your hazards, like make a menu? Ah.
Yeah. So I think if the fraudulent claim was not brought, the trucker would totally be liable.
100%.
Now, were they on their phone? Who knows? Were they checking their mirror to try to merge out of that lane? Who knows? But it's quite obvious they did not see the car, even though we all could. And they didn't take any evasive action until the last minute.
Yes.
So he totally would have been at fault, except for this fraudulent claim. And I think it's funny that somebody would thwart themselves on a $90,000 car claim over a few grand in personal injury. And I think the old adage applies here. If you're going to speed, make it worth the ticket. Like, yeah. Go for like 50 grand in personal injury.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to get rich off this. A truck didn't see my car and ran into it, even though I parked halfway in the lane. So I don't know. Maybe they thought that by claiming a small amount, it would go unnoticed.
But like, I just, why even bother? Somebody's going to get like, oh, yeah. God.
Oh, there's another saying here. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
Ooh, yes.
I talked to Rob Pickup, who is a solicitor in the UK, and he helped me out with shedding a little bit of light on this. And he said, under UK civil law, the legal foundation for why he received no payment whatsoever for his insurance claim, including tangible evidence damage to his 9/11, rests on the doctrine of fundamental dishonesty as per the Criminal Justice and Courts Act of 2015. More specifically, quote, If, in proceedings on a claim for damages in respect of personal injury, the court is satisfied that the claimant has been fundamentally dishonest in relation to the primary claim or a related claim, the court must dismiss the entire claim unless it would cause substantial injustice to the claimant. End quote. So, and he said his commentary was, depending on how you choose to look at the facts of this case, the insurance company were either absolute bastards or very good at their job. Maybe both.
Probably a little bit of both.
I think a law firm needs to be absolute bastards in order to be very good at their job.
Yes.
If I hire an attorney, I don't want the nice guy.
No. At least, I mean, nice to you, but not to the other guy.
Right. Well, I don't know. I want like the Better Call Saul guy, the one that I don't want to invite over for dinner. He's the one that'll win the case for me.
That's true. You know his name's Saul, right?
It's Didn't in the I name say of that?
The
show.
You said the Better Call Saul guy. It was just it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Saul. Okay. Well, the license plate game brought to us literally and financially by Solon Spine, not Soul and Spine, but Solon Spine out of Solon, Ohio. And the lead up to this a little bit, I want to make a note here. We are an international podcast with an international audience sponsored by a local service. Why? And when they wanted to sponsor us, I kind of almost talked them out of it. But then I was thinking about it this week. If you'd fly across the country for a different color Porsche, which I would.
100%.
Why not for proper treatment that might change your life? Sheiks and sultans come to Cleveland to get treated at the Cleveland Clinic. They bring their entire entourage and rent out houses in Moreland Hills. And if somebody could treat my tinnitus to where I thought it would be permanent, I would fly anywhere in the world for that. So why not for your back to get the right treatment, right? Surgery is incredibly risky with potentially life-changing side effects. Solon Spine focuses on using methods, proven methods, where your body can essentially heal itself when it's set up properly to do so. Anyway, food for thought for those of you who say, well, I'm in California. I'd love to check them out. I've got chronic back pain.
Take a trip to Ohio. It's lovely this time of
if
year.
If you would come to Cleveland Clinic for back surgery, why not for maybe not surgery? Just my own personal thefts.
Whoa.
I'm looking at my notes and I read thefts unrelated.
Ethan, fix that in post. No.
And speaking of Solon Spine, we have a license plate submission from the creator of the license plate game. That would be Ooh. Mr. Dr. Hoover himself.
Nice.
And this is plate to sample where we read off a license plate. We don't guess what it means. It's usually patently obvious. We guess what kind of car it's on.
Yes. I'm so sorry if I get this wrong. Please do not be mad at the podcast. We love you.
Fire away, What's Tyler.
It? Oh, I'm first. All right. Good one for you. First, submitted by Dan Doucette, GT3-ish.
I've seen this one before.
Oh, no. You have.
I think.
This was a temporary tag that he sent me, so it wasn't even a real plate. This was fresh off the, not even off the press.
911 GTS.
No, I like where you're going, but not quite. Not quite.
Is it a mid-engine platform?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, is it like a... Mazda Miata.
No, wrong
like
way.
Club Sport.
You're so cold. It is an aero kit on a Carrera.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
I love it.
I approve. All right. The one I promised from Dr. Hoover himself of Soul and Spine. No eat. Context, what? Though, it's the cat friendly license plate. So there's a picture of a cat and then no eat.
So they don't eat cats?
Yeah.
Like, good. I wouldn't want to either. Like, I feel like
that's a low bar for being cat friendly, though, is not eating them. I kick them, but I don't eat them.
Yeah, it's like, I'm so friendly. what is this even going to? What have you done to me, Doctor? Come on.
Come on.
It's a model, a Tesla Model S.
No, internal combustion version of that. It's a Subaru.
Oh.
I think a Forester. I didn't even look it up. It's just a Subaru.
What does that even, I don't. All right. Wild.
Low bar for ethical treatment of animals. Very low bar.
Next up for me, we have NJ Boss, which I think
New
is
Jersey
like New
Boss.
Jersey Boss.
Mercedes, I want to say G-Wagon, but I feel like it's on a slightly more poser one. AMG GT. Not no. AMG GT, the GT63, the like sedan coupe-ish
thing.
Oh,
is it? Yeah, not quite. You're like sort of in the right, but a little bit more...
Poser?
Poser-ish.
BMW 3 Series M Sport?
Nah, not quite. Is it a...
Nissan Altima?
Ooh, too far. It's an Escalade. It's not really like Poser, but it's like a big old Escalade.
Wouldn't that be like Sopranos or something? There's probably some TV show that I haven't seen that somebody's going to roast me in the comments for not knowing that that's New Jersey Boss. Okay. All right. Let's see. This is one I saw on the highway.
Oh, just putting yourself to the front of the list, Doug.
Yep. Pig wife.
Pig. What if I just don't want to touch this one? What if I just... Camaro.
Nope.
No. Corvette.
Nope.
Shoot. Ford Escape.
Nope. All right, what is Chevy it? Suburban.
Oh.
And if it helps, they have a lot of like thin blue line stickers on their back window.
Interesting.
So they're married to a cop.
Gotcha.
And they have a sense of humor. Pig wife.
Oh, okay. I dig it. I like the sense of humor. All right. Next up for you is Dominator, spelled with an 8, but correctly. And now I'm going to give you a hint, Doug, but I really don't think you'll get this hint, so it's going to be useless. It is the name...
Dale Earnhardt Monte Carlo.
Oh, that would be sick. No, it's way less fun than that.
Was he the Dominator? Did I just make a...
Or is there its Eliminator?
NASCAR reference.
We're just going to move past that.
Okay.
Next. The Dominator is the name of the fictional version of this car in Grand Theft Auto. Are you a Grand Theft Auto enthusiast, Doug?
I haven't played Grand Theft Auto since my college days, which was 22 years ago.
Well, we don't need to think about that. So Dominator.
They probably didn't have the Dominator in the first. I think
they
it was like GTA 1.
Did not.
Okay, then I don't know.
Is a Ford Mustang. Late model Ford Mustang.
Oh, okay.
Which I think kind of like...
All right. IXLR8. I accelerate.
Tesla of something. Some EV.
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Like a Cadillac CTS-V Blackwing thing?
Nope.
Much
slower.
Much slower? What are you accelerating? Is it a Miata?
Like, nope.
What is it?
Porsche 996 Carrera Cabriolet.
Get out of here.
So you think that plate's stupid?
Yeah.
Shouldn't be on that car?
Probably not.
That was sent to us by a listener.
Is it their plate?
Yes.
Oh, look, I'm not a fan. Sorry.
I totally set him up for that. Oasis Arcade sent us that one. And I said, hey, I hope you have a sense of humor because we're going to roast you for that one. Should be on a 996 Turbo because, yeah.
Sure. For some reason, 996 guys, Ethan, zoom in on this. I'm talking to you right now. I'm one of you. I get it. We don't need to just try to act like we're more than we are. We're the ugly ducklings. We got the fried eggs, but we still have a good time. That's all I got to say.
It is the right color, though. It's carmine red, I think it is. Carmine.
Ooh,
carmine red.
Carmine red. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice spec. Not fast. Nice spec.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. All right. Up for you. PWRSERG.
Power Surge.
Power Surge.
Tesla.
Yes, there it is. You haven't given me one in a while, so I had to bring it back.
Okay, I got one for you now. This is from our magician friend, Dave, listener of the podcast.
Thank you for warning me this time.
Our party trick at our Christmas parties. Goes 190.
Goes 190? I guess a lot of things. Is it an AMG?
No. Nope.
Okay. 190. I feel everything I'm thinking of, like a Ford GT is faster than those can get up over 200, can't they?
Yep. It's a Porsche Panamera Turbo.
Does it really get up to 90 or 190?
Sure. But do you get the reference? It's one-upping a Maserati, which goes 185. My Maserati does 185. At least I think that's what it is.
185?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe they missed the reference. Whew. No. That was the reference. I thought like, oh, okay. It's a luxury sedan. It's, I don't know. Maybe it just goes 190. And then in that case, it's a dumb plate. I thought it was like a.
Wait, hang on. Well, we can find this out right now.
Okay. Tyler, you're
all right. Last one for you, Doug. Sia Enzo.
That's a Corvette ZR1 Z06 with drag radials, something like that.
I need you to go a little bit further into the past.
Lamborghini Sia Enzo?
Yeah.
Oh, was it the like last or the Ferrari made just after Enzo's passing? Uh-huh. Like the first Ferrari
made? Further back.
Sia Enzo. Ford GT40.
You were like super, it's a Shelby Cobra, but like same kind of situation.
Okay, right.
But
Ford
like,
versus Ferrari, yeah. All
that
right.
was an awesome plate for a Cobra.
Yeah, that's
so good.
Good. It's good, but it should be on a Ford GT40. let's see. This was sent to us by a number of users, sent to me anyway. Bush did.
Oh, it's a 911 of some sort.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, woo. What is it? Is it on like a 997 or something?
Looks like a 992 to me.
Okay. Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Woo.
That's a conspiracy theory plate if I've ever seen one. Is that it or do you have one more for me?
No, that was it.
All right. That's a good ending point. Great way to shut it down.
Shut the whole podcast down.
That was a preemptive strike on that plate.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa, Doug.
The joke doesn't even make any sense.
Either way, it's just a
9/11 reference.
It's all right, Doug. Mission accomplished. We can end this.
The lyric is, does 185, so a fellow with the Panamera, officially a dumb license plate.
Okay. Stamp, we need a...
Like Ethan's like Internet Explorer over here finally loading something. It's like, don't worry, guys.
Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory online at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. You can find more information online at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio, where you can experience the Switch Cars difference.
Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.